Chapter 5. Preparations. In the early months of 1565, the island was bustling with activity. Turkish slaves were hauling newly cut blocks of stone into position along new or recently enlarged ramparts. The ditches on the landward side of Bir Gu and Senglea were deepened, and the walls that protected the two peninsulas were being strengthened. The fort of St. Michael at the end of Senglea was provided with larger cannon. These had sufficient range to command the heights of Corradino on the one hand and the open ground at the foot of Mount Shibaras on the other. On the top of Gotso's castle, restored after Dragut's raid of 1551, a warning beacon was erected, and at Medina, St. Angelo and St. Elmo, other signal fires were built and manned. Old watchtowers along the coast, which had been in existence for hundreds of years, were hastily restored and furnished with brushwood and faggots. Inside Senglea and Bir Gu, the houses, storerooms and chapels of the knights and the Maltese were reinforced, and new buildings completed. With memories of Rhodes in mind, Lavalette wanted to avoid a collapse of morale through the civilian quarter being reduced to rubble. It was now that the abundance of easily quarryable stone, upon which the first commission sent to Malta had commented so favourably, proved its worth. If at first they had commented that a residence in Malta appeared extremely disagreeable, indeed almost insupportable, particularly in the summer, the Grand Master and his council could now see that the whole island was a natural fortress. Its barrenness, its bleakness, and its scanty soil meant that any invader would have to bring almost all his provisions with him. Unlike Rhodes, the Turkish army would find it impossible to live off the country. During January and February, the bad months when the northeast Grigaly hurls the great